With Quicken Loans, the outdated and complicated mortgage process is a thing of the past. Our simple process helps you understand all the details so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage. Take your mortgage to the next level and call 800-QUICKEN or go completely online with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. No matter how you prefer to work with us, we've got what you need to get you through the mortgage process with ease. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Whether you're looking to purchase or refinance, now is the time. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.23%. Call 800-QUICKEN or get started online at rocketmortgage.com. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
The Supreme Court is taking up a case of gerrymandering by political party. At least that's what's being accused. Here's the story.
Justices will take up a redistricting plan put in place in Wisconsin. Democrats say the boundaries of that district give Republicans a distinct partisan advantage. The process of so-called gerrymandering has a long and controversial history in the U.S. If the High Court rules that Wisconsin's plan is unconstitutional, it could have repercussions across the country.
The government cannot refuse to register a trademark just because some people may consider it offensive. The Supreme Court today ruled unanimously that federal trademark law's disparagement clause is violating the First Amendment. The case involved the name of a band called The Slants, but may also affect the Washington Redskins, whose trademark was canceled in 2015 after some Native American group said the name was offensive. The Washington Redskins had appealed the decision that canceled their trademark. A court had put that on hold pending the ruling from the Supreme Court. USA Radio News.
I'm KFC's Extra Crispy Colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my extra crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded extra crispy chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
A new bill being considered that would ban smartphones from getting into the hands of children. Here's Chris Barnes.
The proposed measure needs 300,000 voter signatures to make it onto the ballot in 2018. If it was to be passed, retailers would then face fines for selling smartphones for use by kids. The effort is led by a Denver doctor who tells the Washington Post smartphones made his own kids moody and reclusive. But opponents of the proposed measure say the government would be overstepping its bounds in telling parents whether their kids can have phones. I'm Chris Barnes.
A technology council created by President Trump is having its first meeting.
It will be the first meeting of a new technology council created last month by President Trump. The chief executives of Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Alphabet are among those scheduled to attend the summit. One big topic will be how to keep government computers safe from cyber attacks. The get-together comes a few weeks after some tech CEOs criticized President Trump's decision to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord.
American Airlines is allowing passengers flying through Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport during the hottest part of the day to make a change for free. Extremely hot weather could affect flight operations today and tomorrow, when the high temperature at Sky Harbor could reach 120 degrees. Extreme heat can affect such things as the speed and runway length needed for takeoff. Currently, the FAA prohibits commercial flights from taking off if temperatures are above 120 degrees. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. The weather today, there'll be showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 5 p.m., and some of the storms could cause severe and produce heavy rainfall. Mostly cloudy with a high near 87. It feels like it outside. Southwest winds around 14 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 60%. New rainfall amounts between a half to three quarters of an inch is possible. Tonight, there'll be showers and thunderstorms before 1 a.m., then chances of showers. Some storms could be severe with damaging winds, gusty winds, and heavy rain. Low around 66, southwest winds 5 to 8 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation tonight is 90%, and the new precipitation amounts between 1 and 2 inches. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 84, west winds 7 to 11 miles an hour. Tuesday night, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 63, southwest winds around 6 miles per hour. Wednesday will be mostly sunny with a high near 81, and Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 60. Thursday is supposed to be mostly sunny, and Thursday night, you may have a chance of showers after 8 o'clock.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright. My co-host is off today, Tracy Ivey. She's out watching her sister fly an aircraft in some kind of an airplane race. So we gave her the day off. But this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses and use our own phones, that sort of thing. And what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family who has a mental health issue or someone who has a mental health issue and is looking for some kind of help, and we try to direct them to the right person or organization. We try to help people in many ways. We have a 12-week family-to-family class where it covers medication, side effects, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do in certain circumstances. And it tries to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. We also run support groups right here in Flemington once a month, the third Thursday of every month. And you don't have to be a member of NAMI. You don't have to register. All you got to do is show up. It's at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. And it's from 7 to 9, the third Thursday of every month. We also have what they call a basics class, which, depend on who's teaching it, runs from 6 to 7 weeks. And it's for families who have children under the age of 18 who have mental health issues, anxiety, OCD, etc. The classes you have to register for, the support group you don't. But everything is free. We charge for nothing. We don't charge for the folders. We don't charge for the material. Nothing like that. And if you have a question or you want some more information, feel free. You can call us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. And we don't man the phone 24 hours a day, but we do have someone who checks it twice a day, and we promise you we'll get back to you just as soon as possible. And today, we are very privileged to have with us John Haspel. Am I said that right?
Yep.
Oh, all right. Meditation and mindfulness teacher at the Cross River Meditation Center in Frenchtown, New Jersey. And John is also the author of The Truth of Happiness, Becoming Buddha, and I'm going to come back to that, and The Spiritual Solution, John is also the founder of Mindful Based Recovery. We also have with us Matthew Branham, right? Did I say that right?
Yep.
All right. Matthew is a licensed acupuncturist and a Tai Chi and
Qigong.
I'm going to come back to that too. instructor. And Matthew is also the owner of the Healing Path Acupuncture with offices in Frenchtown and Hopewell, New Jersey. Well, I welcome you both, and I'm very happy that you're here. And John, you're getting old hand at this, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matthew, first time on the radio?
It is.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll do fine. Don't worry about
Thanks.
It. It's very low key.
Pleasure to be here.
We're pleasure to have you. Okay, John, let's start with you. You still at the hospital part-time?
I am, but now it's once a month, and
okay.
We're up at the Clinton campus, the Wellness Center up there.
Okay, yes, I know it well.
Wednesday of every month.
I know it well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to go up there to the gym.
Oh, they have a great facility up there.
Yeah, they do, except a lot of money.
Yeah.
And my retirement, I could no longer afford it, so even with the break I got for, you know, volunteering and working part-time at the hospital at the time, so... But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It is a great facility, and it's got a beautiful pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That and a, what do you call it, a saunas and all that, you know, so it's pretty good. So you're still up there once a month.
Yep.
Okay, and then you have your own business.
Yep. In Frenchtown, we have classes Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7:15 and Saturday mornings at 8:30.
Okay.
Matt can speak to that, but he precedes me on Tuesdays and Thursdays with a Qigong, a Tai Chi class at 6 o'clock. So we have a lot going on there.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, Larry, I want to say it's nice to see you again, and thank you for having me back, and it's always a pleasure to speak to your audience, so thank you.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure to have you on because, you know, what you do is different than a lot of people that are on the show. A lot of people that are on the show either have a mental issue or, you know, or their family does or whatever, or an organization. You know, we've had Catholic Charities, Easter Seals, Pathway, Bridgeway, you know, etc. So it's, you know, it's a little different, but, you know, which is good. But it's also helpful to people to know what's out there, you know, and that's what we try to do.
You know, I was thinking about this on the way in. I've been here on your show twice, and I don't know that I've ever really talked about my own issues with mental health. I don't think I have.
No, you haven't.
And addiction. So many, many years ago, as a consequence of recovering from drug addiction and alcoholism and addressing my own issues with depression and anxiety, which were diagnosed in early recovery, that's really what led me to meditation and mindfulness, and it was a great help. There was a time in my life when I was on 9 different medications for different aspects of mental illness and some other issues, and through the recovery process, I was able to eventually get off of all the medications. So, again, I don't think we touched on that
before. No, we haven't. I can tell you we have not.
Yeah,
you know.
This is a significant ongoing part of my continuing recovery. I don't have those issues to deal with anymore, thankfully. But I attribute a lot of that to what I do today and what I teach today.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm sure it does. Yeah. You know. Okay. While we're on the subject, you want to briefly explain what the difference between mindfulness and meditation is?
Ah, yes. These often get kind of mixed up, and people think that meditation is mindfulness or that mindfulness is only meditation. Meditation is a technique that is used the way that I teach it, primarily for deepening our concentration. Now, this relates to anxiety and depression. Many people that are suffering from anxiety and depression, an aspect of that is that their minds get away from them. They get stuck in thinking about how difficult life is or may be, and it's hard to get out of that. That's an aspect of lacking concentration. So meditation is primarily for deepening concentration. Mindfulness is something that we can do in an effective way once we have a measure of concentration. Mindfulness means to hold in mind or to recollect. So what we hold in mind is going to determine in a pretty specific and direct way, what we hold in mind is going to determine the experience of our own life.
Okay.
And so that concentration supports mindfulness, but they're not one and the same thing.
Okay. But someone who, like you said, may have a mental health issue could use that to benefit their condition.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Right? I still remember when, again, we didn't talk about this before. There was a time in my life when I was so full of anxiety that I couldn't answer the telephone. I couldn't even open mail. I wouldn't look in my mailbox for no real reason, except I was just, and I was always stuck in that way of thinking that something awful is going to happen to me and that I had no control over it. As I started to develop some concentration through a meditation practice, that started to fall away, and I was gaining a little bit of control of what I was thinking about. And that's that aspect of mindfulness, what I was holding in mind. Okay. So I was able to hold in mind a more pleasant way, a more realistic way of looking at the world, and it really changed everything.
Okay. You're up, Matt.
Right. Okay.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about acupuncture a little bit later, but Tai Chi,
and Qigong.
What actually is that?
So Tai Chi and Qigong, Tai Chi is a martial art that started in China probably back in the early Ming Dynasty, which is probably around 1300-1400. It used as its base a practice that predated it by 1,000 years or more called Qigong, which is a combination of breathing, light, gentle calisthenic movements, and mindfulness.
Go ahead.
And those together function as what it was used for over the thousands of years that it's been practiced, as a longevity exercise. So relaxing the body, relaxing the mind, and in turn improving health and longevity.
Well, you said something about light exercise. What?
There are thousands, hundreds, maybe thousands of forms of Qigong, some ranging from just a few simple movements. Some are walking sets. Some are standing. Some are reclining. All of these involve, you know, moving the arms and legs in coordination with the breath, turning from side to side, moving the neck, opening the joints. So some light movement.
Okay. Isn't it according to Chinese medicine that there's a definitive connection between the body and mental health?
Absolutely.
And what is that connection, and would you explain it?
Sure. Chinese medicine looks at the body as a self-regulatory system, meaning it was designed perfectly to fix itself. Given the proper conditions, it will do that. We've always had, through the years, where Chinese medicine developed in China, they've had the same kinds of problems that we suffer from here today. War, malnutrition,
right.
Unemployment, all of the things that we encounter in society. All of those things can influence mental health. So in this way, and as the way that I've described the body being a self-regulatory system, Chinese medicine is looking at the body saying, okay, when there's tension in our body, when there's physical tension, when there's pain, when there's even chronic pain, those influence our mental state. Those influence our mental health, our ability to feel at ease. When we do feel at ease, we can cope with the stress of life much better. So Qigong practice gets the person to relax in their body. When they relax and release tension in their body, the mind follows. When we feel relaxed, when we feel less tense, when we feel less stressed, our mind follows that. Our mind feels relaxed. And then we're able to cope better with life.
Okay. I got to ask, how did you get involved in all this?
Well, I got my start really, I'd always been fascinated with the process of mind and body and how they are integrate, how they work together, and how humans have through religious practice or mystical practices or otherwise, come to this intersection of mind and body. Back in 1999, I started studying acupressure and massage down in Berkeley, California, at the mm-hmm. Acupressure Institute. That was very formative. Some really powerful experiences working with other people, working with emotional trauma, all kinds of things, really opened my eyes to how physical problems, pain, chronic pain, has a very strong mental and emotional component. And I saw that firsthand through doing acupressure, massage, and body work with people in that group setting. That was in 1999. I did my training there and then decided, hey, this is really neat. I want to go to the source of this information. So I got myself a round-trip ticket to Thailand, flew from San Francisco to Thailand, and then spent the next 6 months traveling overland, hitchhiking through Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, China, and back to Thailand, looking for people that had studied these things and learned these things and to see if I could glean some knowledge from them. And when I came back in 2000, I was living in Northern California at the time, and I started my own massage practice. I was nationally certified in massage and acupressure, so I just started it up. And at that time, I started practicing Tai Chi, and I've just sort of been following this thread in my life since then.
Okay. Just interesting, you know. I know I asked you once before, John, how you got involved in all this, and, you know, but you can elaborate a little again, Tamahawi.
Well, it wasn't, initially it was just recovery from alcoholism. I was right. Part of that process, and it's still used today in the 12 steps. The 11th step is to develop prayer and meditation.
Right.
And I had understood prayer because I was brought up Roman Catholic. I didn't really know anything about meditation. And a person back then who was helping me along, called sponsors in AA, told me that I should learn everything I can about meditation. And that kind of gave me the direction and the license to start looking into it. And it really changed my life. And I spent quite a few years studying around, traveling around the country, somewhat around the world, studying with some famous people and some infamous people. But it led me to an understanding of how important it was to develop a well-concentrated mind if I was going to live a peaceful and happy life. And eventually that led me to the study of Buddhism in general. And that eventually led me to study the words of the Buddha as preserved in the Pali Canon, which is a set of books. It's a remarkable story that's probably too long to get into here, but how the actual teachings of the Buddha have been preserved over the last 2,600 years, and that literally changed my life.
Okay, that's interesting, you know, because you know, different people. When I ask, you know, how'd you get into this, or how did you, you know, do this as a career or whatever, you know, some people say, well, such and such happened, and you know, I've always wanted to do it since then, and that's why I did it. Well, then there's people like me, married, four kids, you know, mortgage, car payments, you know, need to put food on the table for six, yeah. You know, so this job came along and I took it, you know, and I was in it for like 18 years, you know, but it's just, you know, it's just, so I asked people how they got into it, because it just amazes me how, you know, various people got into different things, you know, yeah. Like I said, some people say, well, this happened when I was about 6 years old, and from that point on, I always wanted to be, you know, a doctor, lawyer, or whatever, you know. But it's just, I always ask, you know, because it always just amazes me.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the opportunity has to be there too. If I was married with four kids at the time, I couldn't have been traveling around and
right,
and learning these things. So.
Yeah, well, I traveled around because I owned my own truck at the time, but I tracked a trailer, and you know, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Okay. John, how does meditation support mental health?
It really is in that way of developing concentration. Again, I go back to how I was, and I was still drinking at the time. There's a component, at least to me, that the drinking led to, I think, to depression and anxiety. I know modern thought is that it's usually depression and anxiety that's an underlying component. To me, I think it was really different, but it led to
different for everybody.
Yeah,
though. It's not always the same, you know.
And you know, it really doesn't matter now.
It doesn't.
I remember. I mean, this is many, many, many years ago, having this discussion with my psychiatrist at the time, and she was kind of insistent that it was because of an underlying condition of depression that led to my alcoholism, And again, it really doesn't matter. But what I found was once that I was able to stop drinking, which wasn't all that easy, especially when you're caught up in it the way I was, the symptoms of depression and anxiety lessened. They didn't just go away, but they lessened to the point where I could then begin to manage them. Of course, I was also on medication for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, the practice allowed me to look at what I was doing in my life that contributed to depression and anxiety. Because I was looking at it directly, I was able to diminish those behaviors. And I know that sounds simplistic, but it really is that direct. And the important thing, again, I'm thinking back now maybe 25 years, as I was starting to recover, not just from alcoholism, but from the depression and the mm-hmm. anxiety, the fact that I had some tools that I could develop on my own gave me a strong sense of power that was missing from my life. I know when you are, most people, when they're in mental illness, one of the components is you feel like you have no control over your life. That was such an important thing for me to develop early on, that I had some control over my recovery, you know, over right. how I was going to live my life.
Right.
And meditation and mindfulness does that. But I should also point out that what Matt was talking about before, these mind-body movements do the same thing. They bring, they generate a great level of self-control, but in a very gentle and direct way. I'll let Matt talk about that. But
yeah, thanks, Don. That's accurate. And that, you know, as I had mentioned, when you know, you think about it. How do you feel when you're boxed into a small space? Most people feel anxious. Most people feel trapped. Most people feel tense. That tension from being in a small space affects not only the mind and the emotions, but also the body. We start to literally tense our muscles, draw in our physique as a reflection of our environment, of our space. How do we feel when we're out in the park over here, Court Street Park, on a beautiful day with the wind blowing and the sun shining? We feel free. We have space. And so that spaciousness that becomes available puts us at ease. So these practices of Qigong and Tai Chi cultivate that spaciousness through relaxed movement, coordination with the breathing, and mindfulness as well. So when we have that relaxed body, relaxed mind, relaxed movement, easy movement, we have space and we feel good.
Okay. How does acupuncture work with that?
So a couple things. Acupuncture is the oldest form of medicine on the planet. People have been doing acupuncture for over 3,000 years. And now, with how spread out through the world acupuncture has become, it's really been a gift for humanity from Chinese culture. It's this amazing form of medicine that's been now traveled all around the world. Chinese medicine and acupuncture, both, it's a holistic medicine. So as opposed to various forms of Western medicine or allopathic medicine, where we're looking at symptoms and we're going to try to treat these symptoms, say you have pain, say you have an injury, all of those things, that's just sort of getting at the branch, is what we say in Chinese medicine. If we want to get to the root, we have to go and start looking at how I'm contributing to my own disease. And that comes through the thoughts that I think, what I say to myself about those thoughts, and what I say to other people. Those things start to influence how I see myself and how I see myself in relation to other people. If those things are have a sort of a negative narrative or depressed or anxious type of narrative, then the body will be affected by that as well. It'll be tense. I mean, you've seen people walking around with their chest puffed out and very stiff and stern. You've also seen people walking with their chest right. collapsed, their heads down. All of those things not only are physical postures, but they're also mental and emotional postures, if you will.
Okay.
So those, in that way, the mind and body influence each other. So when we work with acupuncture, we're balancing the subtle energies of the body that influence the mind. So commonly I'll see people with, even with a, with pain, back pain, neck pain, knee pain, shoulder pain, doesn't matter, come in, receive the acupuncture, I'll have them ambulate or move around the area that's in pain. They'll say, oh, that's different, that's different. And then I'll let them rest with the needles on the table. I'll come back in about 5-10 minutes or so. Their face will be wet with tears, and they'll say, you know, I just had, I don't know why, but I had just a very profound emotional release here. And you know what? I feel like $1 million. So there's a component of our thoughts, our emotions that correspond to how we feel.
Okay. And I'm assuming that's the physical aspect of both that helps the person.
Yeah, absolutely. In that, you know, classically, Chinese medicine, we're talking back 3,000 years ago, that worldview, almost all disease came from what they called the seven emotions. So there was already a huge tie between mental health and physical health back even 3,000 years ago. So that, you know, technology has changed humanity certainly in that amount of time, but people themselves are very much the same.
When you do acupuncture, is there certain areas that you use or that you put the needles in or
yes.
for various things or what?
Yes. Chinese medicine looks at the body as a also as a holographic system, meaning any part can treat the whole, as any part contains the whole. So a lot of times if someone has back pain, I don't necessarily need to do acupuncture in the back.
Okay.
I can do acupuncture in the hands, in the feet, in the elbows, all to correspond to that area. And that has to do with this holographic system that acupuncture uses. That is what we call an imaging system, where I'll image the limb, the upper limb or the lower limb, with the head and the torso. That way I can find points, pressure points, that elicit a reaction. Ooh, that's tender. Well, that's a point that's probably going to help relieve whatever pain is coming up, whether it's back or
right,
pain.
Right. I told you I have an acupuncture story.
Yeah.
There was a young woman from the medical center, Hunter Medical Center, was an acupuncturist who came on for the medical center show. And she asked me if she could show me acupuncture. And I said, well, don't know. She says, oh, come on, you know. So she says, do it, you know, she whispered, do a break, and I'll do it.
Yeah.
So I put a couple commercials on, and she stuck three needles in my head,
yep.
one in my elbow, one in each elbow,
yep.
or inside here, and then one each here and back here someplace.
Yep.
And she says, just leave them there. Leave them there and do the show. You know? So I'm sitting here with this, you know, headset on and three needles stuck in my head and all over me here. And I'll tell you the truth, and all God's honest truth, I never felt them go in.
Yeah.
Never
yep.
felt them.
Yep.
You know. And I'm sure that, you know, you would be the same way, that you yep. wouldn't feel it, you know, by when you were inserting needles in the person's body. But when she stuck them in my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, here it comes, you know, that, but I didn't feel a thing,
yeah.
you know. And I did the rest of the show with these needles in.
So that's neat.
Just about when the show was over, is you going to take these things out, or am I going to have to go home to my wife like this? You know? And so she, you know, obviously, she took them out. But it was just interesting, you know, because you can get the feeling of what it's like.
Yeah.
You know, not that I felt that it cured anything or did yeah. anything or whatever, but, you know, it was a different type situation than, say,
sure.
at your office or whatever.
Sure.
But it was just interesting because, you know, as I'm saying, just picture me sitting here with three needles in my head and needles up and down my arm. And you know,
I love it.
I wish I saw it.
Yeah. Don't get any bright ideas, John.
Did you bring your needles?
In the car.
Oh, well, leave them in the car.
Larry, I just wanted to mention that.
Sure, go ahead.
There's, you know, even that we have this really Bronze Age technology that's been around for thousands of years that's now being really looked at, studied, and incorporated into both mental health and addiction fields. So acupuncture is now used by the U.S. military for post-traumatic stress as well as pain relief as a way to not use opioid medication for soldiers. And this is even done in the bases, on the battlefield. These ancient methods are being used now to benefit people. I treat a lot of veterans. I also worked at a methadone clinic in Seattle, Washington, doing auricular acupuncture, ear acupuncture on methadone patients. And from my experience there and hearing a lot of the stories from these people, it's just tremendous, tremendous amount of change once the person started to relax, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cravings were knocked down through the acupuncture. The relaxation response was improved through acupuncture. As soon as that happened, the correlation between that and reducing the dosage of methadone went way up. These people started reducing their dosages. That enabled them to have more stability, more function in their lives. They started to rejoin the communities that they had been in that had been destroyed through their addictions and started to hold jobs, started to kind of
get back
bring their life back together.
Right.
So that's a couple of the modern usages of acupuncture in mental health fields.
It's ironic because there's been many surveys done, and they've all come up with pretty much the same result, that between 75 and 80% of the vets who have PTSD never saw combat.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were, well, what do you mean they never saw combat? Well, they haven't saw combat.
It's
you know, and it's true. And but the fact is that in the military, everything is regimental. Everything is you get up at X amount of time, you go running or you eat breakfast or whatever, and you do this, you do this, you do this, you do that. And they don't have to think about anything. When they get discharged, they come back into the real, well, I won't say the real world, but they come back home, and now they have either a wife or a girlfriend or, you know, children or family, whatever, or house, mortgage, and then they have to go find a job, and they have to, and all this pressure just because now they have to do it, and before the drill sergeant or the captain or whoever told them what to do, you know. And, you know, it's just.
And I think I agree. And I think this speaks also to what John had said about developing practices and methods to incorporate into your own practice, into your own way to develop a strong recovery or develop a strong mental health regimen where you have some tools in your toolbox to help you cope.
Right.
And, you know, whether it's developing a strong meditation practice, a mindfulness practice, whether it's through Qigong or Tai Chi, or coming to acupuncture and getting that balance, it's a phenomenal tool in the toolbox. There's no side effects. Reactions that can damage the body. These are all things of saying this. It's empowering, is what it is,
okay.
And that people can know that their own body was designed perfectly to fix itself, and given the proper conditions, it'll do that. And that whether it's from traumatic injury or being exposed to trauma, being on a battlefield, being in a base, being around
could
people.
Be, you know, you lose your house in Katrina.
Exactly.
You know, and everything you owned went down the tubes, you know.
Yeah.
Earthquake, you know, just look at the fire that they just had on the thing where, you know, people lost their, you know, the whole village was destroyed. And,
that's,
you know.
And they're using that. You're using acupuncture in these community trauma settings. Mm-hmm. When
right.
Hurricane Katrina happened,
right.
There was a huge Acupuncturists Without Borders went down there and were doing free treatments for people that had. That's pretty traumatic to have your whole life washed away.
Sure.
So, These were important. People going to Nepal after the big earthquake there.
Right.
So it's being used in this way to help people.
I think too what Matt's talking about and what I touched on a little before is you're developing modalities that are self-empowering. You're taking a direct path in your own well-being. As opposed to just depending on medication or a therapist, and not to say that those things aren't important.
No,
but when you can contribute to your own well-being through these practices, it really changes your whole view of things. You're no longer the victim.
Right.
And even using acupuncture, you would think at first that how can acupuncture be helpful to people that were devastated by a flood? One of the ways is that you're removing that trauma that's inside the body, and you're taking a direct action. You're going to the acupuncturist and saying, you know, you're taking control. Matt talked about in Qigong and Tai Chi, you're developing spaciousness. Many people say when they're developing a true meditation practice, they feel more spacious in their thinking, and they do because they're simply not so stuck onto their thoughts. There's some space. Right. There's some room between one thought and the next thought. It's all part of a self-empowerment way of living in the world, self-empowering way of living
right,
in the world.
Right. Are there different types of meditation, John?
Oh, there's hundreds or thousands of different types of meditation.
Well, you don't have to name them all because we won't have the time, but, you know.
No, I won't. I only teach one,
and
it's a very simple meditation practice. It's being mindful of the breath, and we use that mindfulness of the breath as the focus to develop concentration. But there's
when you say mindful of the breath, you're talking about breathing in and releasing it, or
well, really, but not in any manufactured way. However you find yourself to be breathing, that's what you put your focus on. And if you happen to be breathing shallow at the time, that's fine. If you're breathing deep, even if it's an agitated type of breath, just be mindful of the breath. And the reason why that works in deepening concentration is because most of us spend our entire life caught up in the story in our heads. And we live people talk about it's a monkey mind. How do I stop that? Well, every time you find that you're caught up in your thinking during meditation and come back to the sensation of breathing, you're interrupting that process, even if it's just for a moment or two, and you're deepening concentration. And every time you do that, you're deepening concentration. Now, there's some meditation practices that use visualizations. There's some that use a word, a mantra-based meditation.
Right.
There's some that use, which is really, to me, it's more contemplation. They'll consider an idea such as compassion or generosity and contemplate that. Those are all helpful, but they're not going to deepen concentration.
I got to ask you. I was going to ask you earlier, and you mentioned it. How did you come up with the title of Becoming Buddha? And what's behind it?
So it's a new book, and in fact, it's not out yet. It should be out in about another couple weeks or so. Buddha means awakened. So we call this gentleman from 2,600 years ago who awakened. He was born Siddhartha Gautama. Since he awakened, he's been known as the Buddha. But the word becoming Buddha, or the title becoming Buddha, signifies that we all can do the same thing. We all can, through the right conditions, become awakened human beings. And the best description of that is just a fully mature human being. So that's the title, Becoming Buddha. And he left a very specific, it's called an Eightfold Path, a very specific path that any human being can develop to do the same thing, to become Buddha like he did.
And your other book, The Truth of Happiness.
It's basically a 10-week study on the Buddha's original teachings.
Okay.
And there's an opportunity to correspond with me, although you don't have to. That book came out first. It's been out a couple years, 3 years maybe. Mm-hmm. But it really is a precursor to Becoming Buddha. It's just taken me a lot longer to write Becoming Buddha.
And the spiritual solution?
The spiritual solution... The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous were originally called the Spiritual Solution to Alcoholism, and that's what the title refers to. And it's a
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's a very clear explanation of the 12 steps the way they were originally intended and how to actually take the 12 steps, which is a very simple and direct way of recovering from alcoholism. The way that the 12 steps has developed over the last nearly 80 years since they were first introduced, they become very complicated and protracted to the point where they're not nearly as effective as they once were. But my book addresses that too. And the reason why that's important, any addiction and any type of compulsive behavior is very complicated when you're going through it. And so we tend to feel that recovery must be as equally complicated and probably come at all different directions. And what I found is that recovery is pretty simple and direct, and it just requires a few simple tools, and people are able to recover.
Well, you know, I smoked for many, many years. In fact, I got a touch of emphysema because I smoked. But what cured me after many, many years, they put me on an operating table, turned me upside down, scraped my vocal cords from polyps, told me that was the only time they could do it. The next time they'd have to take them out and I'd have to talk through a thing in my throat. Yeah. And with my big mouth, that wasn't happening. So, you know, and at that time, the patches were prescription. You had to get them through a, you know, doctor. So a doctor prescribed it. And at that time, they were 12-week. Thing. You did 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, so on and so forth, you know, less, and less.
Yep.
I got to 6 weeks, and I looked up there, and I had them on my dresser, and I says, what if I get addicted to this?
Yeah.
So I stopped after 6 weeks and never smoked again. But if someone today lights up a Marlboro near me, I have to walk away. And I mean that because I just, you know, that's like when a group of us used to get out of Atlantic City when it first opened. I would leave all my credit cards home. I would make sure the car had gas, you know, full tank. And I only brought X amount of dollars, and that was it, you know, because I know me. I've got an addictive personality.
Yeah.
The only thing I never got addicted to was drinking. In the service, yeah, I did. But, you know, after that, never.
Yeah.
But I did smoke like crazy, you know, but... Now we talked about acupuncture helping someone's mental thing. Could you elaborate a little bit about physical?
Sure.
And what you would use it for physically, if someone's suffering from what physically?
Sure. The National Institutes of Health in D.C. has what's called a CAM program, Complementary Alternative Medicine Program. And they have a whole wing of their big hospital down there at National Institutes of Health that's dedicated to complementary alternative medicine. And acupuncture is one of that. And on their website, they list at least a dozen things that they treat acupuncture for. Now, historically, we've got 3,000 years of experience working with humans. Right. We treat all manner of things, no matter what. But migraine headaches, back pain, neck pain, all pain pathology, endocrine issues, which would be menstrual issues, hypothyroid, those kinds of things, internal medicine problems, mm-hmm. Lots of digestion issues, acid reflux, GERD, constipation, diarrhea, right. You know, the
whole ball of wax.
The whole ball of wax. Yeah. You know, we've got this human body. We've got a lot of systems working and functioning at one time. They influence each other. Chinese medicine has a key to each of those.
Okay. Now, do you two gentlemen refer people to each other?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you?
All the time.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now,
in fact, it's even more than that. A lot of the people that come to me go see Matt, and a lot of people that see Matt come to me, and it's not even a referral. It's just kind of something that's just grown out of the center.
Okay. Know? Okay. Because I was going to ask, if someone goes to you, John, first, and you do the meditation and yada, yada, then you say, okay, you ought to try the easy cart, right? You ought to try this, you know, over there. I'm just curious because, you know, it seems like it would go together, you know.
Beautifully well. Yeah. It really does.
You know, it feels like it would, you know, fit, you know, to work together like that.
It's really been a seamless kind of partnership, which has really been fantastic. And like I said, I've had patients who come for something completely unrelated to mental health.
Mm-hmm.
But in working with them over time, we start to identify different patterns of thinking or different views on life that they even have recognized have been limiting them or holding them back in some way.
Right.
So through, you know, because there's a whole other aspect of being an acupuncturist is really just being a doctor, and doctoring someone means working with them, means working with them, talking with them, looking at how they move, looking at how they do things. And a lot of times I'll say, you know what, I know exactly what you need to do. And that's learn a very direct and solid meditation practice. And I know exactly where you can go.
And mindfulness is, I knew you sort of touched on it before, but could you like define it a little more?
Sure. Mindfulness means to recollect or to hold in mind. And we can do that with anything. So using a negative explanation of mindfulness, it would be when I was drinking, I was very mindful of where's my next drink coming from. That's an aspect of mindfulness, but it's hurtful mindfulness. Mindfulness that brings us wellness and well-being is holding in mind those principles that develop it. Matt mentioned it a little bit earlier, too, when he was talking about this mindfulness-based movement.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why, and Matt, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but one of the reasons why I think it's so helpful is when you're doing these slow and mindful movements, you're bringing your mindfulness into what's occurring right now. And it brings you back into your own body.
Right.
And an aspect of mental illness is to be outside of your body or always focused outside of your body. What might happen? What's going to happen to me? Where am I going? I remember all these things that consumed me when I was suffering from that. Qigong and Tai Chi, meditation and mindfulness, brings us into our life as our life occurs. And as we deepen our concentration, we let go of the need for our life to be any different than it is. And that brings great peace. It actually heals the mind. And these two practices, actually I think we're talking about four practices, aren't we? They work in a very mutually supportive way to do that.
Okay. In the last 2 minutes that we have, see how time flies when you're having fun?
Yeah, wow.
If someone wanted to reach out for more information, how would they do that?
You can go to crossrivermeditation.com or healingpathacupuncture.com. And actually, we're linked. Those websites are linked to each other.
Okay.
And you can contact either one of us through those websites.
Okay. And you want to say them again?
It's crossrivermeditation.com.
Okay.
And healingpathacupuncture.com.
Okay. I can't tell you enough how grateful I am that you guys came on. And how quickly time flies.
It really did.
That was amazing.
Yeah. We got one more minute, you know, so it's 2:54. So I just want to thank you again, and I truly mean I'd like you to come back.
Great. Anytime, Larry. Anytime. Thank you. Larry. It's a pleasure talking to you and to your audience.
You know, and I think that, you know, you have a lot to offer, a lot of things that people maybe not be aware of, and I think that it's a great thing that you're doing, and just keep up the great work.
You too.
And, thank you, Larry. You too.
Remember, folks, mental health really does matter. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness
discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The relationship has been very strong. We are developing new things to do and only getting stronger.
President Trump today praising America's relationship with Panama during a meeting with the Panamanian president. The president taking to Twitter to encourage Republican voters in the Atlanta area to vote for Karen Handel. She's in tomorrow's runoff election to replace Republican Congressman Tom Price. Police in Saugus, Massachusetts, searching for a man who broke into a shopping mall this morning. They say he grabbed a gun and ammunition from a sporting goods store. Police consider the man armed and dangerous. The mall's been blockaded, and people are told to stay away until the incident is over. The driver who rammed a police van in the Champs-Élysées shopping district in Paris this morning, dead. The man's car exploded and caught fire. Police dragged him out, but he didn't survive his wounds. No one else was hurt in what they believe is a terrorist act. USA Radio News.
With Quicken Loans, the outdated and complicated mortgage process is a thing of the past. Our simple process helps you understand all the details so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage. Take your mortgage to the next level and call 800-QUICKEN or go completely online with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. No matter how you prefer to work with us, we've got what you need to get you through the mortgage process with ease. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Whether you're looking to purchase or refinance, now is the time. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.23%. Call 800-QUICKEN or get started online at rocketmortgage.com. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
The Supreme Court has ruled Bush administration officials cannot be sued for anyone detained at Guantanamo Bay. Here's more on the story.
The justices have ruled that the top officials from the Bush administration cannot be sued over those detentions. The case was filed by six Muslims who were among the hundreds jailed in the weeks after the 2001 attacks. Top officials named in the lawsuit included former Attorney General John Ashcroft and former FBI Director Robert Mueller. The case was argued in front of six justices who voted 4-2 that administration officials should not be held personally liable.
A tragic story out of Alaska. A teenager competing in a race never made it to the finish line because he was attacked by a bear. The 16-year-old victim was running in an Anchorage race yesterday when he reportedly texted his mother he was being chased by a black bear. The teen's remains were found later by park rangers. One shot the bear but says it ran away. Other runners reported seeing several bears along the trail during the race. This is USA Radio News.
I'm KFC's Extra Crispy Colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my Extra Crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded Extra Crispy chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them.
KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Brexit negotiations are getting underway.
The talk started with Brexit Secretary David Davis sitting down with the European Union's chief negotiator, Michael Barnier, in Brussels. Both sides, however, are playing down expectations for any rapid movement. Most European Union leaders agree that much can occur between now and March of 2019, when Britain is scheduled to break from the EU.
The LAPD coming under fire after they've had to shut down training because of theft-happy cadets. Here's a story from Jason Campidonia.
LAPD Chief Charlie Beck has suspended training for cadets at two police stations after three cadets were arrested on suspicion of stealing police cruisers. Beck said on Sunday that he's ordered a top-to-bottom review of the citywide cadet program.